Well, good morning, Backroads Church. Thank you for making us the place you want to be on Sunday mornings. It's always great. Just another opportunity to spend another day that God has made and to be grateful for that day and just to make it a great day in service to God. So thank you again for joining us whenever you're watching, whether it be during Sunday morning service or anytime throughout the week. We appreciate and we hope you're fed through our time together as we worship. Start out this time with a couple of announcements. We're getting really close to Ash Wednesday. We're going to have three services on Ash Wednesday. I'm going to be in Bloomington at noon on that day. We will be in Boscobel at 5:15 till about 5:45 for an Ash Wednesday service here, and then in Soldiers Grove at 7 o'clock. So you have some different options if you'd like to come out and share a little time with us, get some ashes, make kind of a public declaration of your faith as we step into the next season of our Christian year, and we start out Lent, a time when we prepare ourselves, when we look at repentance and changing and lining our wills with God's will. So that will be the start of Lent at Ash Wednesday. If you bought tickets for the Interchurchmen's Men's Banquet, that's going to happen on the 16th. In Mount Zion Church. So if you got your tickets, make sure you're up there. We'll start gathering around 6. Dinner will be at 6:30, and then we'll have a program after that. And you'll get to hear a little bit about my call to ministry and how we can see ministry different as times change as well. So please come out and join us for that. February 21st, right here at the Boscobel campus, is going to be a worship night. The band's going to lead us in about an hour and a half or so of just worship music and time of praising God. So please come out for that. That starts at 7 p.m. Soup Supper at Mount Zion Church on February 19th starts at 4:30 to 7. Everybody's welcome. That's a community soup supper as we celebrate together. So come out for that. February 22nd, a week from this Sunday, is we're going to bring in some new members. We're excited about people who have just recently started joining us in worship, or for those who have been with us for a while and haven't been given the opportunity to actually make their membership official here. We're going to be doing that on February 22nd, and we're going to do it at both services here. 7:30 service and 9 o'clock service at the Boscobel campus. I think that's where we're going to do that. And then I have a note about to share about the Women's Day on February 28th. I guess this has been going on for several years now. I'm not a woman, so I don't go to it, or I haven't been to it. But you can register if you'd like to register for that. You can register online. If for some reason you don't have a computer, you're probably not watching me right now. But if you are and you don't have access to register online, just call the office and they will be happy to get you registered for that. They have a great lineup of speakers. They have some really good music. And like always, the fellowship will be great. So if you ever have any other questions, please feel free to contact the office. And they will, if I'm not there at that time, we will always try and do our best to get you the answers that you need for questions you have, because our goal is to serve you as you grow in your faith. So thank you for those announcements. Why don't we start out this morning, if you're in a church service or whether you're watching us online, if you have some joys or concerns, God's ears are always open to hear our voices as we share together. But why don't we start out praying together at this time? So let's pray. Oh, dear Lord, you call us to go to the mountaintop with you. And even though we say we're following you, Lord, we are never quite sure of what's going to happen. We do know this. We love the mountaintops. We like the view from way up on top. We love what we can see from up there. We like the mountaintop experience where everything is beyond what we would really have expected. Yet, Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful that you know that sometimes we need those mountaintop experiences with you when our days are dark and when our days are dreary, when our hearts are heavy and when the valleys seem more depressing than ever. This morning, we've lifted to you, Lord, some names of those situations that where there's some darkness and some need for some enlightenment. And we admit that there are more that just get stuck in our hearts. When we get this opportunity to come to you to pray, whether we lift them out loud or whether we can't, those prayers remain in our hearts, but we know that you're there. And we know that we can share those prayers with you. So we know, Lord, that you are the creator of heaven and earth. We know that our strength comes from you who set us on these mountains, and you set those mountains in place. As we remember today the transfiguration on the mountain, we would ask that this time with you be a mountaintop experience that fills our hearts with your light. May we be overfilled with your love and your hope this morning. Lord, we're aware that just as Moses and your disciples were changed by their experiences, we too are changed and transformed into the image of Christ by your mercy. Heavenly Father, may we have unveiled faces that reflect your love and your hope and your light to others. Lord, we all stand in the need of your grace. Allow us to offer that grace to others in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this morning, we're going to be looking at the transfiguration. That comes in the book of Matthew, chapter 17. This is going to be verses 1 through 9. So hear these words this morning. It said, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from that cloud said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him. The disciples, they were terrified, and they fell face down on the ground. Then Jesus came over, and he touched them. He said, get up. He said, don't be afraid. And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus. As they went back down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as we start, as we kind of open ourselves to God's word this morning and what he has to speak to us, I want to ask you, have you ever thought that you really knew somebody, that you really, really knew them well, that you believed that they could never do anything that would surprise you? You knew them so well, you just thought you knew their every move. And then somehow, out of the blue, you discovered something about that person that far exceeds or exceeded your expectations. through one experience or another, you find out that you really only knew that person on the surface. All of a sudden you see into the beauty that makes that person who he or she really is. We've all heard of people, and maybe you're one of them, who became best friends with someone that they previously didn't really care for, didn't like them at all. And when this happens, we're able to put a new face on a person who we mistakenly thought we already recognized. Jeannie's grandfather, my wife's grandfather, we call him Pap. He was a guy who had achieved this really, really high level of success. To most people who knew Pap, they would say that Pap was a really shrewd, almost a tough, grumpy businessman. He was a bit gruff. There's truth in that. He was really set in his ways. And quite honestly, he could be a bit intimidating if he wanted to be. I really came to like Pap and appreciate Pap. I used to love to just sit and listen to him tell his stories. But while he was alive, I never really got to know who Pap was, really know who he was as a person. I have a couple of weddings that are planned for later in the year this year. And I really enjoy sitting down with the couples and talking with them as they prepare for their big day and for their life together in the future as husband and wife. It's amazing to talk with these young couples and then to have a conversation, to first talk with these young couples and then have a really good conversation with a well-seasoned married couple. Husbands and wives who've grown in their love over the years are in amazement at how little they really knew about each other when they got married and started those new lives together. It's funny how these budding couples, the ones who are preparing for marriage or they've just been dating for a couple years, will tell me that, oh, we know absolutely everything about each other. We share everything with each other. Well, as a pastor, one thing I know for sure about a young couple who's getting ready to get married is that they have a lifetime, a whole lifetime of learning ahead of them. Time and circumstances are going to reveal a whole new reality of who you are actually married to. And the truth is, knowing things about someone is not the same as knowing who the person really is. In life, some new insights come gradually, while others can happen in the blink of an eye. Sometimes we're forced into circumstances that help us gain a deeper understanding of another person. But even these instant insights, they require an ongoing growth and a nurturing to really sink in and make a difference in how well we know the people that we're in relationship with. Even after seeing what they saw, Peter, James, and John, the disciples, they didn't come down from that mountain with a complete understanding of who Jesus really was. In reality, they were still far from that point. They still needed to continue to grow in their relationship with Jesus. How many of us have thought that we knew all there was to know about the person that we're married to? Or maybe the kids that we raised? Or the friends that we've stood by for years, only to be surprised that they could still surprise us. Friends, this is as true with our relationship to Jesus as it is to anyone else in our lives. Remember the story of Peter and John and James when they first met Jesus? They hardly knew him at all. They'd only heard about him from other people, John the Baptist and a few others. And Jesus was just at the beginning, or just beginning to build some good reputations, or build up any reputations. Those reputations were good with some folks, and not so good with other folks. But with little more than this word of mouth knowledge about Jesus, these fishermen, they left everything they knew and they began to follow Jesus. The more they spent time together, the more they came to know him better. They watched him heal people. They listened to him when he talked with people. He became their friend, their teacher. He became their Lord. And then one day, as Matthew tells us in our passage this morning, they went up on a mountain with him. And their understanding of who Jesus was to them was radically changed by this mountaintop experience. They saw Jesus literally in a whole new light. The Jesus they knew had been a carpenter. They knew that he had healed people. They knew he had brought a message that seemed in contrast to the expectations that society held so sacred. They also knew that there were some people who didn't like what Jesus stood for. And yet there were some who just couldn't get enough of his good news. But on that mountain, on that day, they started to know Jesus in a whole different, or at a whole different level. What about us? What about you and me? How well do we really know Jesus? Does it matter? Does it matter how well we know him? Is it enough to simply know some things about Jesus? Or could we be somewhat in the same place that Peter, James, and John were when they left their boats? Have we moved beyond that space to the point where we need to know Jesus better so it makes a difference in our relationship with him? Last year, about the same time, the youth group from my former church got together and we watched the movie, The Passion of the Christ. And some of the kids and some of the adults, they were moved to tears by this movie. Others, as you can imagine teenagers doing, some of them slept through the movie. For some, the film was sort of their mountaintop experience that put a whole new face on Christ, what Jesus meant to them in their lives. For those who watched it and felt that something shift inside of them, for those who walked away believing that this film had made a real impact in their faith, you have to wonder. There's been some time. You have to wonder, does that difference they felt then still hold true today? Does that difference they felt continue to shape who they are, who we are? Does it show up in the choices that we make, in the compassion that we show, and in the courage we find to share the message of Jesus in the ordinary, everyday moments of life? I can tell you this. One of those kids who watched that movie on that day shared that right now, even still today, they have a poster, the Passion poster, in their house. And after experiencing the movie, she saw what Jesus actually did for her in a completely different way, in a different light. That person, that young girl, who is just a member of our youth group, is now sitting in the back of the church every Sunday with her father, And she does the tech work at the church. And she, now, because of what she saw, her experience and seeing Jesus differently, she's working at the church, making sure that everyone who joins the service online is having a really good experience seeing Christ working in the life of the church and in their own lives. Matthew, in our passage, creates such a beautiful image of that mountaintop experience. But if we focus on the details of the white garments, of the face of Jesus shining like the sun, Moses and Elijah being present there, the apostles face down on the ground in fear, it might be easy to pass over the most important phrase in this story. The apostles, they heard God speak to them. They heard, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then God said this. God said, "Listen to him. Listen to him." What if in that moment, Peter and James and John thought that they had already knew, what if they thought that what they knew at that time, before they heard that voice, what if they thought that they knew more than enough? Could they have, or would they have been able to listen for more from Jesus? If they assumed that they already knew everything there was to know about Jesus, what would be the point? There'd be nothing more worthwhile to learn. Obviously, though, there was more to learn. There was more to share. If this transfiguration experience had been only meant for Peter and James and John, then Matthew and Mark and Luke would not have been informed and inspired to write about it in their Gospels. The need to grow in relationship is alive, and it's alive and as well today as it was then. And we're being told to listen with a new ear, to listen with our strangely warmed hearts. We're being told to listen so that we might continue to know Jesus at a level beyond what we know today. If I were to ask you what you do before you cross the street, we teach our kids this, we all know this, what would you say? We were taught to stop, to look, and to listen. We've been told that since we were big enough to cross the streets by ourselves. But we can't afford to be too busy. The lesson, we've been taught that forever. And that lesson might provide the framework that we need for teaching the message of today's transfiguration story. We're very busy people. We're distracted by something most all the time. Our minds are constantly being preoccupied, and it's easy to miss what's going on all around us. But we can't afford to be too busy, too consumed to stop, to look, and to listen before we continue to cross this street of life. The three disciples not only stopped what they were doing and went to the mountain, they looked and they listened before coming down the mountain. This is a necessary practice if we're going to be truly faithful followers of Jesus. Our friendships don't remain friendships if we do not continue to grow in them. The things that motivate people to get married in the first place, those aren't the things that are going to hold a marriage together in the long run. Relationships do not grow without stopping to look and to listen to each other. This is as true of a relationship with Jesus as it is with anybody else. Friends, mountaintop experiences with our God are about helping us to see His full potential in the relationships that we share. They're not meant to freeze us in any one place, but they're actually meant to set us free. They're actually meant to set us in motion. Peter wanted to stop right there. He wanted to set up camp and stay right there on the mountain. And as much as we would like to stay on the few mountaintops that we experience in our lives, we're called to so much more. We're called to take what we've been given and bring it down the mountain. We're called to share our vision of Jesus to every part of the world that we touch. But we can only do that if we take time to stop and to look, to open our hearts, and to listen before we proceed down the mountain. We should. We need to get to know Jesus on a deeper level to prepare us for the relationships that we're called to cultivate. So when will be the next time that we stop long enough to look at Jesus in a different way? What is there that He has said that we need to listen to with a new ear? Stop, look, and listen. Truthfully, each day is a mountaintop experience. It's a mountaintop opportunity for us to learn more about Jesus and more about each other. Jesus continues to reveal more to us even as he prepares a place for us. We have more to learn about Him than what we've seen. I mentioned Jeannie's grandfather, Pap, earlier. And I thought I had a pretty good idea of who Pap was as a person and as a businessman. But at his funeral, I learned that there's a lot more to this man. At the graveside service, the pastors told stories about his friend that nobody had ever heard before. Stories of generosity and care and of a soft heart of a person who, without anyone else really knowing it, was making the effort to stop, to look, to listen to his neighbors. I learned how Pap was sharing the grace and the mercy and the charity and the hope that Jesus had shown to him. Pap was one of those people who ended up surprising me by being more than what I ever expected. Friends, I pray that you stop, that you look, and you listen while you learn more about Jesus and your relationship with Him. That you find that you're more capable and blessed than you first expected. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, holy and transfigured Lord, we come down from this mountain moment in your word with hearts that are full, humbled by your glory, and grateful for the ways you continue to reveal yourself to us. Like Peter and James and John, we confess that we don't always see you clearly. Sometimes we rush right past your presence because we're too hurried to stop, too distracted to look, and too overwhelmed to listen. But today, Lord, you've touched us once again with your radiant grace. So, Father, help us carry this moment back into the valleys of our everyday lives. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our eyes to see your light. And open our hearts to grow deeper in our relationship with you. May we never settle for just knowing about you, but long to truly know you. And now, Lord, we dedicate our offering to you. You've given us so much. Mercy that surprises us, love that overflows, grace that meets us on every mountain and in every valley. So it's with thankful hearts that we return just a portion of what you've entrusted to us. Lord, we ask that you use these gifts to shine your light in the places that need hope. Use them to bless the ministries of this church and to help us reach those traveling, the back roads and the busy roads of life. Lord, shape us through our giving into people who reflect your generosity and your compassion. Bless each giver, each gift, and each step we take in faith. We pray all of this in the gracious name of Jesus, our beloved Savior and our radiant Lord. So now as you go from this mountain, may you stop often to take notice of Christ beside you. May you look deeply enough to see his glory in the ordinary. And may you listen closely to hear his voice calling and guiding you. And may the same Jesus who touched the disciples and said, "Do not be afraid," may he touch your life with courage, fill your days with grace, and lead you forward in the light of his presence. Go now in peace to serve, to love, and to shine. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.